Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Awesome.
Delicious.
Awesome.
Delicious.
No. Awesome.
It can be both.
All right. It's awesome.
Things can be both.
It's awesome and delicious. Hi, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
My name is David Bell.
I'm Tom Ryman.
And we just watched The Invisible Man.
The Invisible Man?
The Invisible Man? fun movie.
What happened to him?
Adrian's dead.
Listen. You're getting your freedom back, okay?
He said that wherever I went, he would find me. Walk right up to me, and I wouldn't be able to see him. Adrian is dead. He's not dead. He has figured out a way to be invisible.
The Invisible Dickweed.
Yeah. He was the guy from...
He's the guy from Haunting a Hill House.
Yeah, he's Luke.
I didn't recognize him until the end because you really don't see him until the end.
Yeah, he's kind of invisible.
He's invisible.
Yeah. Tom, how did you like this movie?
I liked it a lot,
Me
actually.
Too. This movie's fucking great.
Thought it was really good.
Yeah.
End of the episode.
Yeah. It's the director of Upgrade, right?
Yeah, Lee Whannell, who also wrote Saw and Insidious.
He's the guy in Saw. He's the guy across from Cary Elwes.
Yes, he is.
I like him better as a director than the guy in Saw.
Right, he's also in all the Insidious movies as the bespectacled henchman of the psychic lady.
Right. Yeah, he's a perfectly fine actor. I don't want to knock him as an actor, but man, it feels like this is his actual calling.
Upgrade was... a surprise. I think it was 2018. It must have been. Yeah,
that it always looked fun, but it was surprisingly better.
Right.
And he's going on to do Escape from New York, which I'm not happy about remaking a John Carpenter.
Yeah, he said that. I saw something recently where he said that like that project is kind of in hiatus.
Good, because I think he has better things to do.
Yeah.
Specifically, he should just do more old Universal Monsters stuff.
Well, I wrote a thing this past
medium
week
thing?
For a medium thing, you know, like a medium take.
Okay.
About the Universal Monsters franchise and how they're sort of retooling it yet again to just, well, let's just get these writer directors who have an idea.
Yeah.
And have them make something. Paul Feig is making something called Dark Army, I think.
Yeah,
which is,
It's
might
more
be
of a
like
comedy,
a
right?
Comedy horror or something, I think.
Right. What a novel idea.
Right, yeah. Actually, have an idea.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Banks is remaking The Invisible Woman.
Ooh. I mean, it should be a connecting to this, I feel like. Because we'll get to it. Spoilers, obviously. This kind of leaves the door open for that, even though it has nothing. It's not supposed to. It doesn't need to.
No. And the original Invisible Woman didn't have anything to. The original Invisible Woman was a comedy.
Oh,
like
really?
It didn't have anything to do with the Claude Rains Invisible Man.
Yeah, it's also. I don't think any of these movies need to be connected. That's the first problem with the Dark Universe stuff.
Yeah, the fucking Dark Universe.
Yeah. This.
But apparently. They just called him, Universal called him in for a meeting and started talking to him about the monsters and the Invisible Man.
That's great. So. And he sort of nailed it. He sort of nailed the scariest aspect of the Invisible Man because I haven't watched the original, I've seen clips and stuff. And it's sort of my understanding that much like any of these monsters, it's the idea of a scientist doing something to themselves and turning themselves kind of into a monster.
Right.
You know,
it's more of a mad scientist movie.
Right. And this is a mad scientist movie.
Yeah.
But it's done from the perspective that we would want to see this from. Like this maniac turns himself invisible, and he happens to also be an incredibly abusive boyfriend. They're not like married, are they?
They were just dating.
And it's like, what a fucking horrific idea.
Yeah.
And it plays out like that.
He's a real goblin.
Yeah, it's just Elizabeth Moss once again getting gaslighted by some dude. Yeah. I tweeted about it. I'm glad she's a great actress and the thing she does is very important and good. But like, take a break from men, Elizabeth Moss.
Yeah.
Just
give her like a light comedy or something, or like a fucking family movie about a dog.
Yeah, she did do Get Him to the Greek, but even that she's dealing with
some
weird...
Yeah, that was 10 years ago.
Yeah, she's also dealing with some weird guy stuff in that, too. It's just my God. She's so good in this.
She's very good. Yeah, that's... that. I mean, obviously the movie sort of hinges on her performance because you can't see the villain.
For
98% of the film, it's just her acting against nothing.
There's a part where she's just in a room and she senses he's there, and she like turns around and looks all creeped out. And they shot this so well because it's stuff like her performance that you feel his presence, but also the way they frame shots. They like frame him in the shot, even though he's not in
the
shot.
He's not there. Yeah, and they do a lot of pans where it'll pan slowly to one side of the room and there's nothing there,
right?
And then it'll pan back over, but you're like, is he there? Like, the movie establishes the game right away, and it's a lot of fun. It's a great game for a horror movie where it's just like the way he frames every single shot is like, is he there?
Yeah.
Like, he might be there.
He might be fucking there. And it's no different than like a horror movie, and it is than a ghost movie. And it is, in fact, worse than a ghost movie.
It was more menacing than a ghost movie.
Yeah, because he's technically an evil genius, but he's mostly just like a real douchebag. And he just knows how to manipulate. And he's someone that like people have probably met in their lives, you know, like just a narcissist douchebag, but he's invisible. And that makes him horrifying.
Right. Like this, a lot of the things he does in the movie, I'm like, oh, this reminds me of somebody specific.
Yeah.
And like
exactly.
Imagining that person being invisible is a fucking nightmare.
Right. It's so good, and for that reason, and then combined with the fact that they make it so he knows not to talk, he's smart enough to know not to say anything. He does kind of shoot himself in the foot eventually because he's a big emotional crybaby. I loved when he finally is at the end, and like that actor, he doesn't have to do much in this film, but when he does show up, he does a great job at playing. Like, he's apologetic and like,
yeah,
he acts like he's vulnerable to her and that she's the one who really like controls him.
Yeah. It's like in that scene, I was just like, man, this guy is like I said, is a nightmare. And then it's just in that scene, I saw this with Marina and I just leaned over to her and I was like, this guy is so dangerous. And it's not, and I wasn't talking about the fact that he has an invisible suit. I was talking about the fact that he's like this sociopath manipulator.
Yeah. And he's got all the money and resources. The general, oh God.
And then he pins the whole thing on his brother.
Yeah. Like a real D-bag.
Yep.
And that's sort of the moral of this, if we're just skipping right to the end, is just that...
Then we can jump around.
Yeah, we can jump around. Jump up and get down.
Jump up and get down, yeah.
It's sort of the moral is... I mean, it's more of... I would say it's a very sinister moral... Because it's the idea is that ultimately you can't fucking negotiate with these people. They're so slippery, and they're able to just, you know, they're able to get by, and because they have like that's what it comes down to. That's what this is almost an analogy for, which is an abusive relationship where you look crazy because they're able to stay so calm and cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're able to make you look like the maniac.
Right. I think Hanna tweeted something the other day to that effect, where it was like, calm does not equal rational.
Yeah. Yeah, and that happens all the goddamn time. Like, there's certain political pundits I can think of who talk about civility, and that while saying things that are not civil, but they're saying them in a polite way, and that's sort of what this all I think symbolizes: the idea that he's able to put himself in a position where she just seems like the crazy one, even though he's the actual aggressor.
Right. Yeah. It's gaslight.
It's gaslight.
It's gaslight. Only the guy's invisible.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's a perfect symbolism for that.
When I got home from the theater, my dad called me. It's my folks call me like every weekend. And you know, he's an older dude, but he's like an old movie buff. So right. I was telling him like, oh yeah, we just saw The Invisible Man. And he was like, oh, and I explained to him, I was like, basically, it's like gaslight with an it's gaslight if the guy's invisible. And my dad was like, shit.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's way worse.
Yeah. I too have a dad story.
Oh, good.
No, I saw this with my dad, and my mom didn't want to see because she didn't like horror movies, and we didn't know how gory it was going to be. And then, I mean, the story just ends with him
not too bad.
Yeah, no, we're going to go show my mom it. I think I'm going to see it again this week because my dad turned to me. He was like, that was really good.
It really is.
Like, yeah, he's not like a horror guy or anything. He's just like, man, that was a very good movie. And I'm like, uh-huh. And he's like, we should show mom it.
Right. I would hesitate to even though it's a reboot of a Universal Monsters movie, I'd hesitate to call it a horror movie. It's way more. It's a thriller.
Yeah, it definitely, I would say it definitely is a horror movie too, because it. Mm-hmm. What it does and what I love about it is that it creates, I'm trying to think of a good comparison because there definitely is one. Like, I would say almost Green Room is similar, but not really the same, because Green Room, I would also call a horror movie,
Green Room's a survival horror movie.
Survival horror. It's taking sci-fi elements and making you realize how scary they can be.
Because
he's essentially a superhero. This is a superhero origin, but that's a good comparison, even though I didn't like that movie as much. But Brightburn, it's taking something that we're kind of used to, like we've seen invisible heroes in movies, and making you realize how fucking sinister it is, and that it's a bit essentially dealing with a poltergeist, like a really scary poltergeist.
Yeah, a real dickhead ghost.
Yeah, and they treat it that way when she's in the attic like that, and she
that's like, I think, the only jump scare in the movie, but holy shit.
Yeah. Well, the beauty of an invisible person jump scare is the camera doesn't have to do anything where, like, you don't, there's two moments that it made me realize this, which is like, oh yeah, it's kind of like It Follows had that similar thing where, since it could be anybody, you could keep the camera in one place and not have anybody expect that there's going to be a jump scare, because they can literally just come out of thin air.
Mm-hmm.
And the part in the attic where she's calling around, she calls his phone and finds it in the attic because he's just living in the attic, taking invisible dumps up there, I assume.
We got to talk about that at some point.
Yeah, we should definitely talk about how he's living.
Right. At one point, I was like, when she drives, because it takes place in San Francisco, she's in the city, but his fucking compound science fortress is all the way out. It's way outside of the city, like on the coast. Well, I mean, San Francisco's on the coast, but it's way outside of the city. So at one point I was just like, how's he getting around?
Yeah.
Is he driving an invisible car?
I assume his brother helped.
Is he invisible behind the wheel? Yeah, it must have been his brother.
His ghost car. This director, by the way, has, I noticed because of this, an upgrade. He seems to like tech houses.
Mm-hmm.
Cool tech houses on the coast. And well, I mean, who doesn't?
Right, they're pretty awesome, but Marina pointed something out about the house, is that as cool and as beautiful as it is, it was like very oppressive. There was no there was no trace of her in that house.
Yes, of course.
And she was also living there.
Yeah, it's also unlivable. You look at the house and you're like, I don't know where I would relax in this house.
Yeah.
It's made like a prison, and that's sort of the point.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful and it's a beautiful house that has no function.
It's not a functioning house. It's,
no, not at all.
Man, but yeah, that first scare in the attic where she hears the ladder. It sounds like the ladder's moving, and she slowly peeks over the lip of the attic door to look down at the ladder, and is just like, she just decides, she's like, oh, I guess she just feels him there. So she grabs his paint can and throws it, and it splashes on him, and he's right fucking in front of her.
Yeah, it's so good. And they do
like
a really good,
like, from her face.
Yeah, they do a good jump scare noise. Like, jump scares, I don't like jump scares most of the time, but when it's done in a really impressive way, it's like, damn. And this was that. This was such a good jump scare.
Mm-hmm. And the noise was the cameras on his suit freaking out.
You're right. Oh, mm-hmm. I wanted to talk about his suit, and I guess we should, because this was another thing that fell into the realm of taking something that we're familiar with and pointing out how sinister it is. His suit, because I mean, the trailer, I had been wondering, like, how is he turning invisible? And they show like this room in the trailer that clearly is the invisibility room, and I just assumed it was like, oh, he turned himself invisible.
Right, yeah. And I noticed there was a lot of stuff in the trailer that's not actually in the film.
Yes, I noticed that too. There's someone sitting in that chair. There's a couple. Shit, there was another one as well. Her waking up and seeing him take pictures of her.
Right, the cell phone floating in the air. The science room, like, there was broken glass over the place when she walked in it, and that's not in the movie.
Yeah.
And I assume this next part was just trimmed for time, but you see her running out of the house back toward the gate in the daytime, which is when she goes there with the Uber driver. But in this, they just cut right to her in the car.
Yeah. I assume they did that for a couple reasons. Them cutting out her waking up to see him taking pictures, I think, was a smart move.
Yeah.
Because it was we sort of needed her to not be sure at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when she first... Like, it starts with him taking pictures of her sleeping and messing with her blanket, and that's a real creepy scene where the blanket
when
is
he's
getting
standing
stamped
on the blanket. Yeah,
yeah. And so we know what's happening, but I think they wanted her to be less sure. So if there was a floating phone, it would be pretty damn obvious.
Yeah, it's a little too early in the game for the floating phone.
Yeah. And the fact that this movie was 2 hours long, I can see them trimming it down for time. Mm-hmm. I will be very curious about the director's cut, though, for this reason.
Yeah.
But yeah, the suit. So it turns out it's a suit.
Mm-hmm.
And the suit looks, or it's designed, how would you would assume an invisibility suit would be. It's covered in cameras that are assuming... It's like the James Bond car. It's filming behind him and projecting somehow, and they don't go into the science because who the fuck gives a shit?
Yeah, who cares?
But because it's functioning that way, you realize he looks like a fucking monster when he's not. It's just these like holes all over this black body.
Mm-hmm.
It's like jet black body covered in these, like, gross eye holes.
Thousands of eyes.
Yeah.
And it's a motif throughout the film is cameras.
Yes.
And that's a big part of his control. Like, that opening scene, which is amazing. Like, what a great way to introduce to start the movie.
Yeah, the opening scene is just her sneaking out of the house for the first time. And it's also like a horror movie, because you can already tell just because of how she's selling it, you don't need to be told he's abusive. You
and
know he's abusive by the way she's acting. It's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, and we're never shown what their life was like together, because it's not... You get it all from her performance, from that opening scene. Like, it's, you don't need it.
Yeah. And again, like, it's about believing people too.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing is, like, we're taking her word for it, but you can see it in her. And then later her friend, I forget his name.
James.
The cop, James.
Yeah.
Is like, has to take that sort of leap.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's not much of a leap at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Because, he kills a lot of people.
He actually doesn't.
Oh, he just fucks them up?
He fucks all those cops. He just fucks up.
Right.
Like, he very explicitly doesn't shoot them.
He shoots one guy in, like, the knee, but you're right. He's not trying to kill people.
But yeah, he's not trying to catch a bunch of murder charges.
Right.
He just kills the one person.
Right. Yeah, I want to talk about that.
Yeah, let me just finish the thought about the cameras.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
We're shown from the beginning he has security cameras all over his house, and she has to point one back at him so she can watch and make sure he's still asleep in bed while she's sneaking out. And then we see, like, security cameras are a big part throughout the film because it's a major part of his control, of how he controls everything and everything she does. And so they have his suit covered in cameras.
It's perfect.
And then she ultimately beats him by using his own security camera against him.
And I would argue that he is exposed through the hospital security cameras.
He is, yeah, yes. Yeah. So that's why he has to frame his brother, because it's like, oh, clearly there is an invisible guy here beating the shit out of these people.
Yeah.
But
what a revelation, too.
What, right?
Because that's the thing, is Elizabeth Moss, she plays it so well, where it's like she's acting how you would expect someone to act if they were out of their mind and thought that an invisible man was watching.
Right.
Because that is no different than a person who knows an invisible man is watching them.
Right.
There's no difference there.
Right. Your behavior would be exactly the same as a person who is legitimately being terrorized by an invisible man.
So they do a good job with, like, you can't really blame anybody believing that.
No, it's impossible.
Yeah.
Like, but, like, some of the things that happen are also, I mean, yeah, like that, when he goes on his rampage to the hospital, you're like, oh, well, I guess there was an invisible guy.
Yeah, those guards, like, the last thought before you get knocked out, it must be wild.
Oh, yeah.
That's a hell of a discovery. It's, yeah. And it's, they still sort of, what I like about that is they still, because he frames his brother, and I'd love to know the conversation he had with his brother.
Well, it's clear his brother,
it will just do whatever he says.
Yeah, it's just like his dog. Like, he just does whatever he tells him to.
And after
including taking the rap for a murder.
Yeah. And after he frames his brother, what happens is the brother attacks. He threatens her little teenage friend. And so they have a standoff. And it's a nice reveal is that they take off the mask and it's the brother. Mm-hmm. And I had a second where I was like, no, he wasn't the whole time. Like, it was like, that's not what the movie's going to do, is it? And then they're like, well, that settles that. And Elizabeth Moss is the only one who's like, no, it was him.
Yeah,
he
no,
did
it was,
this.
Yeah. Like, he spoke to me.
Yeah. People have trouble believing her even still.
Yep.
And she, like, the cop has to take a leap of faith. And ultimately, like, nothing will get him, so she has to fucking cut his throat.
Yep.
She has to play his own game against him and wear his fucking camera suit.
Yep. Yep. And does it in front of his own security camera, so it looks like he just feverishly cuts his own throat.
Yeah.
And then she walks in and reacts and calls the police on the camera.
Yeah, and which is funny because you know the police will at this point be like, okay, I mean, we know there was an invisible suit in the house. Well, did you have anything to do with that? And she'd be like, no, of course not. And they're like, okay. I mean, because it looks like he was getting invisible suit murdered.
Right. It looked like he was struggling against an invisible person.
Yeah. And we know that's a thing now. But whatever. I don't think too many people are going to look into it. That's the whole point of the cop, where he's just like, yeah, it looks like he killed himself.
Yeah, yeah. She's like, what did it sound like to you? He says, it sounds like he killed himself.
Right.
I mean, she did try. Like,
but that whole point is he's listening in the car because they're hoping to trap him.
Right. And he just won't.
Like, he just won't admit it.
He won't admit it.
But then
she really tries to get him to admit it.
Yeah, and he taunts her by saying something that's the surprise. It's the same word.
He texted her on his phone earlier.
And so it's that thing of, like, this guy in the car who's like, well, he didn't say it, but she's like, come on. Like, you gotta fucking believe me. And he finally is just like, yeah, I mean, yes, obviously. It's, again, it's that idea of, like, everything... the whole way she acts, it's like, yeah, of course she's telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, god damn.
Yeah.
The sister scene. That's the other
fucking hell, yeah.
Yeah, that's the other scene that I was like, I was really impressed by, because I think this movie, one of the things that could have gone wrong with this movie
mm-hmm.
is predictability.
Yeah. This movie is difficult to predict.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is surprising, because you kind of, you see the trailer and you're like, okay, well, she goes crazy and then she's in the asylum and she tries to trap him and then she fights the invisible man and movie over and everybody sees the dead guy in the suit. But they add these beats that you're just like, whoa, like yeah. the brother was one where I was just like, oh shit.
Yeah.
There's yeah, there's more. And then the other one is she's having dinner at this clearly a restaurant of someone who's been to restaurants in LA.
Yeah.
Cause the waiter is like,
it's a very San
Francisco. Let me tell you how
restaurant.
We do things here.
Yeah. Yeah.
What kind of water do you want? And she's just like, the free kind, please.
Yeah.
And she's telling her sister like about this. And she's like, I need you to trust me about this. And she's about to tell her sister when the knife is just floating next to her.
That's such a good shot. It's just doing the reverse shots of her sister and then her just sitting across the table from each other. And it cuts back to the reverse shot of Elizabeth Moss. And there's just a knife floating next to her. So you don't notice it right away.
Yeah.
It's like, wait.
And the sister sure does.
Yeah, she notices it.
Because the knife slashes her throat and then goes zoop into Elizabeth Moss's hands.
Yeah.
And it's this moment of like, ah, fuck. No.
That was wild. And it was so, it was so unexpected.
It was so quick.
Yeah.
Ah. Because they frame it, I think what they did, everything to make you feel safe in the scene.
Right, they even have her, like, because she says, meet me in a public place.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, obviously he can't do his invisible bullshit in front of all these people. It's right. Like, you want to bet?
And then they're doing all these comedy beats. And they set it up because at one point she's talking to the teenage girl and she's crying on the ground and the teenage girl's over her and the invisible man fucking punches a teenager.
Yeah, just backhands the shit out of her.
And they're not that close to each other, her and the teenager, but mm-hmm. she's just like, oh my God, you hit me. And in her point of view, it's like, yeah, who else would have hit me right now?
Yeah, there's nobody else in the room, yeah.
Yeah, and she's not quite looking at her, and so it's like...
Yeah.
It's kind of the only thing you can conclude, even though watching it from a third-person perspective, you're like, no, she didn't. She clearly didn't.
Yeah.
And it's the same way, where it's like they're in this public place in a restaurant. There's all these eyes, but everybody looks over to see if someone with their throat slashed, and she's holding a knife. Like, it doesn't mm-hmm. matter what happened before that, what you think you saw. This is clearly what happened.
Yeah.
It's, man...
It's real good. It's real good shit.
This is real good shit. This movie is extremely good.
The hospital she's in that they keep fixating on, it's called Sister Marina.
Oh.
Or Saint Marina.
Yeah.
And Saint Marina, the story of Saint Marina is she was a nun who this guy was like fixated on. He's like, oh, you need to marry me. And she's like, no, I'm not gonna marry you. I'm a nun. I'm married to God. So it's like the story of Saint Marina is about this guy torturing this woman to try to force her to marry him.
Fucking perfect.
So there's no way that's by accident.
No. Like, I need to go back and watch Upgrade, because Upgrade, I just sort of assume it's a silly action movie that was just done better than you expect.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder how much of a shit he was giving that
I assume a lot.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe not. Maybe he just knew this movie there was more at stake mm-hmm. in terms of the story he was telling.
Yeah.
Because it's
a hell of a movie. It's real good.
It's really good.
Boy, this guy is patient. Like, he's like sitting in her jail cell with her. Like, he's holding his pee for a real long time. Or he's pissing in that suit. I don't know which.
Oh, he's probably pissing in that suit, because that suit looked like it really didn't have a hole.
Nope, there's no fly on the invisible suit. Although, could you imagine?
Yeah, I was about to say, if there was one,
just like a little wiener floating through the air.
You're in a men's room and you at the stall
looking
and you
disembodied look over wiener, and there's a wiener there.
just pissing way more than there should be in the wiener.
Right. Like just, if you hang in there like some curse.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be something. I mean,
yeah.
That's the thing is that I know this guy's different, but like if I had suddenly had the ability to turn invisible,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't think about revenge against people who wronged me. Like I'm fucking invisible. I don't have to care about that shit anymore. I can just go around fucking with random people. It'd be great.
Yeah, I can do whatever the hell I want.
Yeah, I can pick up people's dogs while they're walking them, so they think their dog can fly. Just having a great time.
Yeah.
Tripping mm-hmm. all the children.
Yeah, just shoving kids down, stealing stuff.
Push, of course, stealing stuff.
Getting an invisible money bag.
Yeah.
Has a big invisible dollar sign on it.
I'd ride a lion. I'd go to the zoo and ride a lion because the lion won't know what's going on either.
Yeah, he'll be real confused.
Yeah, a lion's not going to attack me. It can't fucking see me, hopefully. That dog seemed kind of suspicious.
Well, I assume the dog could smell him.
Oh, right. Stupid nose. That's how they'd mm-hmm. get you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I want an eye suit. And now at the end, she just bails with the eye suit.
Yeah, she just takes it.
Yeah, she's like, I'm going to have some fun with this. Fuck it.
Like, I thought she was going to throw it into the ocean, but like, nope.
No.
Hanging on to this.
That thing's awesome. No, you got to give him credit. That's a great eye suit he made.
Yeah.
Everything else about him. Yeah.
Sell it to like fucking Google or some shit.
Right. The way they do it is good because they set up that there's multiple suits and she hides one of them early on because she's hiding in his closet and he's there and she sort of has the presence of mind to know like this is evidence.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I need to put it somewhere that I can get to it that he won't know. And of course that pays off. The moment she came over at the end, I was like, oh, she's gonna go invisible and fuck him up, isn't she? there's one loose end. It's that fucking suit. She is going to murder him while invisible.
Yep. And that she does.
She really does. She does a great bit because he slashes his own throat according mm-hmm. to the camera, and yep. then she runs in and starts crying and acts like mm-hmm. she gives a shit that he's dead and calls 911 and then is still crying, walks off camera, and then her demeanor changes and she just fucking stares bullets at him, watches him die.
Yep, she just sits down and watches him.
Yeah. The pregnant stuff was good too because
yeah,
it gave her the upper hand. It reminded me actually of Handmaid's Tale because that's a thing, and that is when they get pregnant, they're somewhat untouchable because that's the fucking thing. That's the thing. They're you know, they think of them as baby machines, and yeah. that's how he thinks of her too,
like
to an
brood
extent.
Sow.
Yeah, and that's how he thinks of her too. So she calls mm-hmm. him out by, like, at least convincingly looking like she's going to slash her wrist. So he grabs her, and so yeah. she starts stabbing the fuck out of him with a pen.
Yep.
And so, yeah, it gives her like a certain amount of like immunity from him. He's
somewhat.
Just going to, yeah, well, he's just going to kill everybody she loves at that point.
Yep.
You know, that's also a bummer.
Yeah, that's kind of a downer.
Yeah, a little bit. But yeah, that's a good, it's like they treat her when they tell her she's pregnant,
mm-hmm.
it's understandably horrifying, but in the yeah. narrative it gives her, it's like, oh, the fucking, you know, the power dynamic has shifted now.
Yeah, somewhat because they reveal that it's just this diabolical trap.
Yeah, well, yeah, and that's one of the more, because you know all of this is what it is, but then the moment where she's at the hospital and the brother visits and he mm-hmm. leans in and he's like, you know, this will all stop if you keep the baby and take him back.
Yep.
And it's like, it's almost a relief to hear him say it.
Yeah, because nobody else has confirmed that this is really happening.
Yeah, but everybody watching knows.
Yeah,
but it's that moment where it's like it's almost that thing of like you're scared the movie's gonna fuck up by making it in her head or something, which you know yeah. it isn't, but it's like confirmation of like, no, this is what the movie's about. This is
yeah.
what we're doing.
Yeah, boy, that would have been real stupid.
Yeah.
If they had made it so that it was all in her head. It's like, oh, okay. So that would have been a bad message.
Oh yeah, 100%. I assumed that wasn't going to happen. Just
yeah, same.
They seemed very smart about dealing with this subject.
Right, because it is so pointedly about domestic abuse.
Yeah.
It's like, well, if they make it all in her head, then that's a shitty movie.
Yeah, it felt like it was written, and I mean, I haven't read interviews with Elizabeth Moss, but I know she's talked about this subject a little bit. It felt like it was maybe a lot of people weighing in mm-hmm. on this movie, and people just pulling from their own experiences. I have nothing to confirm that. It just felt like clearly the people who had worked on this knew how how important the subject is.
Right, to be, even though it's this, you know, fantastic situation where the guy's fucking invisible, like everything about his abuse was very real.
Yes, and it felt like it came from a real place. And mm-hmm. it also, I love, and it, you know, it's one of those things where horror movies have always been about things.
Usually, yeah.
They've always been about real fears.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least in order to work, they have to be. But
Right. Like Rosemary's Baby is about being a single mother, and it's also about domestic abuse.
Yeah, and it's about being pregnant as well, and just mm-hmm. how scary that is, and the idea of everybody, you know, feeling out of control, feeling like your body is not yours.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I was conflating Rosemary's Baby and The Exorcist when I said single mother. Exorcist is about being a single mother. Rosemary's Baby, yeah, it's about being pregnant, and also about a little bit about domestic abuse.
Yeah, it's
her husband's a big shitbag.
Well, yeah, and a lot of those aren't about anything. Like I'm sure they came from very specific places, but they're also broad enough so that you can sort of attach them to a lot of things.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm just like you say, they come from real fears, and that's like those are the real places where those films started from.
And exactly. And I think that's been going on forever. What's new to me is how specific movies like this is getting.
Mm-hmm.
This and like. You know, It Follows and Get Out, and the ones where they're like, it's still broad enough that you can interpret them different ways, but I love how specific they've been getting. And that's, I don't know, that's really cool. And I didn't, like, when I saw the reviews, I knew, but I did not see this coming when I first saw the advertisements for it, as in terms of this was going to be this goddamn good.
I had a lot of hope for it.
Me too.
Because from the first trailer, I was like, that's a fucking good idea.
Yeah.
Make this a movie about a sociopath abusive ex-boyfriend and then turn that son of a bitch invisible. Like, that's terrifying.
It's perfect. It's the perfect mad scientist. Again, thinking about, it reminds me of the Cronenberg Fly, which I like the original Fly better, but mm-hmm. the Cronenberg Fly realized the protagonist isn't like, and I guess the protagonist isn't really the scientist in either, but they realized how terrifying it really is for whoever's in a relationship with him. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of where the terror comes from, more than just you know, what he's going through.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think a lot of these monsters, it's sort of that, which is, like,
yeah, that's historically been like the Wolfman. That's kind of been the case with a lot of movies. Yeah.
Okay.
Well not a lot of them. Some of them.
Like I said, I don't pay too much attention to these stories. So,
mm-hmm.
but I can see the Wolfman. Being a Wolfman isn't nearly as inconvenient as being the person standing next to the Wolfman.
Right. It's a real problem.
Yeah.
when you're standing next to the Wolfman.
Yeah, that's your problem. You know. He got a Wolfman next to you.
Shit, there's a Wolfman in the house.
Yeah, we gotta take care of that Wolfman.
Should we lock the doors? I don't think that's gonna help.
Right. No, probably not.
He is part wolf and part man.
Yeah, he is a Wolfman. I don't know what you do with him.
Yeah.
Just give him a stick, see if they respond to that.
Yeah, just throw a ball.
Throw a ball. Yeah.
See if that, I mean, try anything.
Yeah, really try anything. I assume that's how the Silver Bullets came about, because they were just trying stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they were finally like, what if we do this plus this?
Hold your coat out really wide with your arms so that you appear to be a larger animal.
Yeah.
try that. It yeah. works on cougars.
Yeah, use a dog whistle. Like that might work.
Yeah, if people bump you, he'll hate it.
Yeah, put little booties on the wolfman so he walks funny.
Because
he doesn't know how to handle having the booties on.
Spray that lemon juice or whatever.
Yeah, that'll get yourself a scared wolfman.
Yeah, he'll hate it.
Yeah. Invisible Man, on the other hand, all you need to really do is just stab him. Stab him with a fucking pen.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I wanted to... This is sort of a tangent, but I want to turn this kernel into something. I haven't really figured it out yet. But have you ever noticed that in the Ghostbusters theme song, one of the ghost situations he sings about is an invisible man sleeping in your bed?
Yeah, sleeping in your bed. Who are you going to call?
That's not a ghost. That's an invisible man.
Yeah. That's a problem. And he's sleeping in your bed. I always imagine that. I think they were intending the idea you wake up in bed and there's an invisible man sleeping next to you.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking of it as like you've had a long day, you go home, and there's an invisible man in your bed.
Right.
It's like a Goldilocks situation.
Like Goldilocks. You're like, ah, son of a bitch.
Yeah. You're like,
trying
get
some sleep.
Bed,
it's like,
invisible
yeah.
man.
To call the Ghostbuster to chase him out of your bed.
Yeah. When he's not sleeping in your bed, he's like on your couch eating cereal.
Right. So my point is they can't like lasso him into the trap because he's a man. So all they can really do is burn him with their radioactive laser gun.
Sure. Sure. I'm sure there's a few
Which
times the Ghostbusters
murder,
have done
right?
that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Then they've just killed a guy.
Right. If he's referring to the invisible man and not just like, it's just him being cute about, I don't know. That song was also written.
Ghost.
That song was also written really fast.
Yeah.
I know that about it. Is that he wrote it last minute and it kind of shows.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't it rip off Huey Lewis?
Yeah, it's a new drug.
Yeah. I mean, I love that song, but it was definitely a song.
Into oblivion for it.
Yeah, it's definitely a song written in desperation. I think the thing I read was the people who yell "Ghostbusters" are just like his friends because they couldn't like get singers, so they're just like everybody just yelled this. All right, that's good. we gotta hand this in tomorrow.
We got a chart topping theme song on our hands.
Yeah, we got. Fucking shit out this classic theme song.
There's a really great Key and Peele sketch where it's Jordan Peele as Ray Parker Jr. and it's like him advertising his greatest hits, which are just theme songs to all these other movies.
moment you said Jordan Peele as Ray Parker Jr. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's gotta be a fucking amazing.
Yeah, it's really great.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't really have anything else to say about the movie.
No, the movie was great. I think it's more, you probably saw from the trailers that obviously it was going to touch on domestic abuse because of mm-hmm. course it was.
Yeah.
And it, I knew that from, and I thought that's a great angle. I think what surprised me was that it was more thoughtful on the subject than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And like the artistic side, the visual sides also seemed like you said, the cameras and the way he looked and the hospital name. Mm-hmm. And like it felt like they were really thinking about it. And they were really also thinking about how to make it like an original horror film at the same time.
Yeah. And I love that they weren't exploitative about the abuse situation. It all comes through Elizabeth Moss's performance.
Yeah, and I was gonna say this is, I mean, goddamn, Lupita Nyong'o for us.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue that Toni Collette in Hereditary, even though that's, your opinion on the quality of that movie is different than mine.
I mean,
I'd say
she's great.
Yeah, her performance. It's and now Elizabeth Moss in this. It's this the thing where it's like. These people should be nominated. I think what they're doing is more impressive than a lot of movies, especially Elizabeth Moss in this.
Yeah, if we're going to... You've said it before, but if we're going to give the Clown Man an Oscar, like...
Yeah, and the Clown Man did good.
Shithead.
Yeah, Clown Man did good. Clown Man did... He did a good Clown Man. But,
right,
like,
but
if
I'm
we're going
to... Yeah, yeah there's no reason to be like, well, horror, that's a genre. We don't give genre pictures
exactly.
Oscars. We gave the Clown Man an Oscar. Come
we
on.
Gave two. We gave two Clown
we
Man
gave
Oscars.
We gave two Clown Man Oscars.
Yeah, like, come on now. These are fucking amazing performances. And they're... Yeah, it's... I would say that she's, like, 50% of what makes this movie mm-hmm. so good. it's incredible.
Everybody, yeah, it's so much of it. Yeah,
yeah,
depends so, on her.
Yeah. Oh no. Yeah, 100%. It's that and the cinematography are the two mm-hmm. things.
Yeah.
So people, check this out. It's a winner. It's a yeah, winner.
It's very. It's a winner.
Winner.
Winner. I don't know why yeah. that happened.
That's our official review catchphrase.
Yeah, it's a winner.
It's a winner. You know how we say that every time.
Yeah, you know how we always say that in a weird Al Pacino Atlantic City voice.
Classic us.
Yeah.
Folks, thanks for listening.
Thank you so much for listening, you guys.
You should check out our Patreon. It's patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We have exclusive podcasts there, like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac and all our other goodies that you should check out. It's great.
Yeah. We also have a store at tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed, where you can check out t-shirts, mugs, stickers, posters, all kinds of cool stuff. And leave us a review, if you please.
Yeah, in the Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It helps get us new listeners, which are very important.
We like listeners.
We like listeners.
We like you.
Mm-hmm. We really like you.
Yeah, you're pals.
You're all right. We're okay.
You're a winner.
You're a winner.